Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be with you as we once again begin our Lenten season. It's hard to believe that Christmas was only a few months away. In these next 40 days, we share the desert time of Jesus. We share in his fasting and in his prayers and in his trials that he endured as the Son of God. Every Lent reminds us that our Christian life is a journey, that we are all following the call of Jesus in our lives. Lent reminds us that we are walking with him, companions in his mission of bringing all men and women to know his salvation, striving for his kingdom until the world is filled with God's glory. So in these 40 days we are preparing for Easter, for Christ's resurrection, when we will renew our promises of our baptism. The Lenten traditional practices that we hear in our scriptures today call for fasting and prayer, almsgiving and penance, and are meant to really strengthen us in our identity as children of God and followers of Jesus. Following Jesus, I believe, means two basic things. First, it means being disciples, people who are always learning from the words and example of our one teacher and true master. It also means that we should be missionaries, people with a life mission to spread his teaching and the love of God in everything that we do. Jesus shows us the way that we should approach our lives and invites us to find our joy on a journey of daily conversion, trying to grow every day a little bit more in our likeness to him. This Lent, I was asked to talk to you about Lent and the prism of the Beatitudes with Lent. So let's talk a moment about these Beatitudes. I know in growing up and attending religious education, many of us at our parishes can remember memorizing many things, including the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, various other prayers, the corporal works of mercy, and yes, these things that we call the Beatitudes. We in the Order of Malta are reminded of the eight Beatitudes when a knight or dame dons their robes or capes, and we see the eight-pointed cross on these items, each point representing one of the eight Beatitudes. I found myself reflecting on the Beatitudes since my pilgrimage to the Holy Land about 2 years ago. There was something powerful about being there in that place where Jesus first spoke those words to his disciples. Jesus gives us the Beatitudes at the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount, the great program of life that we find in Matthew's Gospels, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And as I mentioned, they are familiar to us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when men revile you on my account. In the Beatitudes, Jesus isn't talking about different sorts of people, such as people who are poor or people who are meek or merciful. If we notice, Jesus is really describing himself in the Beatitudes. In assuming our human condition, Jesus made himself poor for our sake, with no place to lay his head. He wept for sin and death, and was merciful to sinners. He was meek and pure in heart. He made himself hungry and thirsty for justice and our salvation. Reviled and persecuted for his righteousness, on his cross he made peace, reconciling all things to God. The Beatitudes show us the face of Jesus, and his face should be like a mirror in which we see ourselves. When Jesus looks at us, he wants us to see and have us living the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are what a child of God looks like. Beatitude means blessedness, perfect happiness. And so the Beatitudes are a summary of the path of Christ, the way of love that leads to the happiness that every human heart desires, the holiness and eternal beatitude of God's kingdom. God's ways are not our ways, and we know that too often. The way of life that Jesus calls us to follow is the way the world calls foolishness. How can we find happiness in being poor and powerless, persecuted and mourning? In his Beatitudes, Jesus turns the world's expectations inside and upside down. The challenge for us is to have the courage to believe him and to really follow the path that he sets before us. Lent is a time for doing just that. Let's try to use this Lent to help us deepen the attitudes and actions of the Beatitudes in our lives. Our fasting can help make us poor in spirit. Our almsgiving can make us to hunger and thirst for justice, to be peacemakers. Our penance can help us mourn our sins and be merciful then to others. Our prayer can help us to become meek and willing to suffer for the sake of God. I'd like to share with you this morning a story that I normally use many times when I use the scripture reading on the Beatitudes. In that gospel reading, I feel that this story is so meaningful and it might help others to feel the same way with the Beatitudes. A new American doctor wanted to use his skills where he could do the most good, and he decided he was going to go to Calcutta to work with Mother Teresa and her missionaries of charity. He felt he wanted to do this after many years of studying in medical school and many years of internship and residency and fellowship. He felt that God was guiding him along this way, and he wanted to thank God in a special way, and this was the way he chose. When he got to Calcutta, he met Mother Teresa, and he asked where he could be put to best use. She thought for a moment, and then she wrote something on a piece of paper and folded it in half and handed it to him. She said, "Doctor, I want you to take this piece of paper to Sister Priscilla next door." And he would then follow her footsteps and her guidance insofar as his tasks. The young doctor took the note to the nearby, what they called the house of the dying destitute. He thought to himself that it was just the kind of place the doctor should be. He imagined one day changing the sign maybe to read, "The House of Hope for the Living." He thought in his mind that he was really going to make a difference here. He met Sister Priscilla and handed her the note, introduced himself. She glanced at the contents and smiled slightly, and she said to the good doctor, "Follow me." And they walked through the men's ward, which was a large open space with rows of cots cradling people in great pain who looked like skeletons with skin on. "This is where I should work," the doctor thought. "I can make a difference here." But Sister Priscilla continued walking, and they entered the woman's ward. "Okay," he thought to himself, "this is where I could be useful." But they continued into the kitchen, where a modest lunch was being prepared. "Ah," he thought, "they want to give me lunch first. They want to give me nourishment so I could do my good work for them this afternoon." But they continued on through the kitchen, walking out of the building into the back alley. Sister Priscilla pointed to a large pile of garbage that was revolting to the doctor, and he was gagging on the stench. She said, "We need you to take this garbage down the street to the dump." The dump is several blocks straight down the street, so you can't go any further, and then you turn right. You can't miss it. And so the nun handed him a shovel and two buckets, and in an instant she was gone. The young American was stunned. He thought to himself, didn't they realize that he was a doctor? But anyhow, he dug into the pile and carried buckets of refuse to the dump. There he was amazed at the number of people swarming the area looking for something to eat or for anything of value. But by the end of the day, the pile was gone, and the good doctor was drenched in sweat and stench. He walked back into the house to tell Sister Priscilla goodbye, and when he saw a sign over the doorway that was written in Mother Teresa's handwriting, and it stated, "You can do no great things, only small things, with love." The doctor remembers that his heart melted. It dawned on him that serving others is not about how much he knows. It's about attitude and availability to do whatever is needed, but to do it with love. He said that he learned that shoveling garbage with love is different from just shoveling garbage. My friends, in the Gospel of the Beatitudes, we find that those Beatitudes are grounded in such an attitude of love, that true blessedness, heartfelt happiness and satisfaction is centered in Jesus' perspective of humility and mercy and compassion and justice. Titles and labels really don't matter. Skills and talents are not really measured by faith. Jesus calls us to become a people of the Beatitudes, to embrace a spirit of humble gratitude before God, who gives and nurtures and sustains our lives, and to respond to such unfathomable love that only one can by returning that love to other people, God's children, our brothers and sisters. Whatever we can say as way of returning it to God. And for those of you who would like to carry the Beatitudes through this Lenten journey of ours, but maybe, like myself, sometimes forget each one, I basically found a brilliant way to refresh our memory through an article that I read in Catholic Courier. It's called the Beatitude Rosary. Beatitude Rosary is just like the Rosary of Our Lady, except in the place of the Hail Marys, you say one of the Beatitudes. And you say, well, how could that be? There's 8 Beatitudes and there's 10 decades. Well, yes, that's true. There are only 8 Beatitudes, but we basically make a little adjustment into the final Beatitude, and basically it would cover the 10 beads. This is how it should be divided up. The first bead, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 2, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. 3, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. 4, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. 5, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And 6, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. 7, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. 8, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 9 would be, blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. And 10 would be, rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. When you think about it, it's not really that hard. There are fewer words, actually, than the regular rosary. But the Beatitudes rosary requires each one of us a little bit more attention, since each bead is different. These 10 sentences are really a school of spirituality of Jesus. If we really mean it when we say that He is our Lord, we ought to want to know His approach to our spiritual life. And at the end of this meditation, we're then going to come away with a picture of what a spirit-filled Christian would really look like. We should be detached from material things and sensitive to sorrows of others. We should not be arrogant. We will have passion for justice and mercy, which really are two sides of the coin of righteousness. We will be pure in heart and clean of mind, and we will seek peace in our relationship to our world. We will seek a right relationship with God, and we will not mind if we suffer for His sake. This is a great deal of spiritual wisdom, which is distilled down to 10 little sentences. I hope by the end of Lent that it is part of my memory and yours, and also my soul as well as yours. It's good to be with you. May God bless you as we begin our Lenten journey today, and may we set the Beatitudes before us as a path for our own lives and for our church. Amen.